Mate, what's going on?
What do you mean?
I'm no expert, but I'm pretty sure you shouldn't be taking advantage of a patient.
Sorry, what?
Come on, I'm not an idiot. Aren't there rules about this stuff?
Listen, I don't know what you think you saw.
I know exactly what I saw, and it's not okay. I'm pretty sure the powers that be at the hospital would probably agree with me on that one as well.
Well, as of this morning, Mackenzie's no longer my patient.
Technicality, and you know it. What are you playing at?
Not playing at anything.
Okay, well, I'll just give your bosses a call then.
Wouldn't do anything until you speak to Mackenzie.
Why is that?
We are Si and Sophie. This is Coastal News, a home and away podcast, your weekly episode companion podcast for your favourite Aussie soap.
Where is Kate Middleton? You know, Sophie.
I think that she is the new drummer for Slipknot because they've been very secretive about who their new drummer is going to be. And it's all very coincidental timing with her disappearance because they're apparently doing rehearsals right now. So that's so my theory.
She's locked away in Slipknot rehearsal.
Yeah, that's my theory. It's as good as any. What about you?
I don't have a theory. I have a favourite conspiracy.
Oh, go on.
You
then.
Know,
yeah.
The whole Williams killed someone.
Oh, yeah.
I'm waiting for that new series of The Crown to drop.
I know. When do we get that? The latest series.
Can't wait. I mean, I've just got visions of her underground in a bunker in Afghanistan doing Photoshop and everything. Go on, girl.
Oh no, I don't even understand this. So when I looked at this photo, I was like trying to find out what people were kicking off about because I just didn't care. And then they were like, oh, there's loads of people on Twitter, there's like threads of people explaining what was wrong with the photo. And there was like, oh, what's the little girl called? Is it Charlotte? God, I'm terrible. I don't know any of their names.
Yeah.
And they were like, look at her arm, like her jumper. It's like her arm's moved and they've put Kate's hand there to make it look like she's really there. And I was like, you guys have got too much time on your hands. I've got stuff to do. I'm off. I can't be asked.
But to say Kate did it, it was hilarious. But it's so funny. It's my new favourite soap opera. I'm sorry.
Oh,
how are you? Other than you know, wondering how she's getting on in rehearsals.
Yes. Okay. Well, obviously, that's my vested interest. I'm more interested in who's the new drummer for Slipknot. So, you know, that's where my interest is lying. But I'm all right. Thank you. How are you doing?
Not too shabby. We're snowed under right now, aren't we?
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
We are pretty busy. We've managed to squeeze in Home and Away somewhere. but we're all right, we're here. We've shown up regardless, and that's the main thing. You don't get that in any other part. I'm not going to do that again. Very busy. And why are we busy?
Because not only do we do a podcast, and not only did we do a podcast early this week, but we're also live in Manchester on Saturday.
Live. Buried alive. Yeah.
Hopefully. Oh God, don't do that to me, please.
Hopefully not. Very excited. We are our live event. We've been talking about it for months. So if you weren't just hearing about it, where have you been? In Manchester on Saturday. We're doing a murder mystery game, a home run murder mystery game that is going to be good fun based on what we think it is. we'll find out if other people find it fun. We've also got special guests, JK and Adam from the Neighbourhood Rewatch. You'll know those guys. They're on this pod. We do the battles with them. They're there doing a home and away quiz. Who's going to come out on top? And and just a good chance to meet other Home and Away fans. We met some last year in London at an event and really loved it. We're looking forward to it, aren't we? Chatting all things tournament on Saturday. Until then, we've got a whole week of Home and Away to talk about. So, do you want your headlines, Sophie?
I do.
Leah is back in the bay, but she's staying at the Stewarts, and Justin doesn't understand why. Levi and Max succumb to temptation. Investigations begin as to why all the Surf Club committee are resigning, just as Simon Henderson pulls his funds. And Bree goes into protective mode.
Please take the time to like, subscribe, and review Coastal News wherever you source your podcasts, and ensure you never miss an episode.
Right, Leah, she's back from the clinic, back in the bay. She's direct to Summer Bay House. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. And it's just like old times there, isn't it? Because Leah lived there for quite a while.
She did. She's got her old bedroom back, apparently.
That's it. It's been cleared out.
Yeah, Maz was like, I've got your old room ready. I was like, blimmin' heck.
I've moved Martha's easels. Yeah.
And the red room. Disassembled the red room.
Alf and Maz think, she's doing great. She's come back. She's a new woman. She's her old self. But Alf does admit to Maz, look, I'm really sorry. It was a big secret. Justine's not supposed to know that she's here, but I did tell him. Maz is like, how can you betray her confidence? I don't blame Alf. We sort of touched on it last week, didn't we? He and Justin's friendship, he couldn't really... They were never going to keep that under wraps in such a small town.
No.
What are your thoughts on, before we get into the nitty-gritty, what are your thoughts on Leah going there and not talking to her own family, her own partner?
I think it's really rude. to put it bluntly, I think it's really rude. I think even if... I don't know. If it was me, it's hard to put yourself in her shoes, isn't it, really? Because it's not me, and I can't really imagine it. But I'm trying to imagine if it was me. I think I'd want to tell Justin that I was coming back to the bay. Like you say, it's a really small place, and the chances of him finding out, that I'm there is quite high.
Yeah.
And it's not fair to make Marilyn, again, keep a secret. And it's not fair to make Alf, Mr. Stewart, apologies, keep a secret. I don't know. I think I would have had to give him a heads up. I'd have to have said, I'm coming back, but I'm not coming home, if that's what she wanted. I don't really understand it. But I'm going to stay at Marilyn's for a bit and just work on myself. And I'll see you when I see you. But I think just not telling him anything is just rude, because he's just going to think she's still at the clinic. And I don't know. Is it just me?
No, I think it's beyond rude. Actually, I think it's borderline betrayal. The poor guy has been going, God, be dramatic. The poor guy has been going out of his mind while she's been in there. No contact. He's just learnt that she's actually been writing penning letters to blooming Maz, and that's okay. So he's starting to feel a little bit sort of personal with it all. All he wants is the best for her. He wants to know she's okay. He needs that validation from her. That he's not done anything wrong on top of it all, and he's had to sit there in total darkness, and she finally comes out of hospital. He's the last to blooming know about it, for a start, he's going to somebody else's house. If I was him, I'd be feeling yay big. I'd be feeling completely closed out, and I'd be wondering what I did wrong. I've got a lot of empathy for Justin with this situation. I really do. He's over there at the salt, staring at the bottom of a beer. and Theo, bless him, as Theo as well, I feel for him, because he's, although contact is regained with Theo, that puts him in positions of to-ing and fro-ing. And them two, he's trying to G Justin up, trying to go for dinner, and Justin's wanting to know why, and he's sending him round and asking questions, and... Oh, no, yeah. I'm just like, why? It is not fair that she's, as if she's not putting through enough.
I know.
Do you know what I mean? I was seeing some things online, though, this week that were not very, I was just seeing some things that were quite the opposite from some of the viewers, that was like, oh, what are you doing, Justin? Rack off. And I was thinking, he's doing exactly what I would be doing. Like,
difficult, isn't it? It's difficult to know. I don't know how I would react in either situation. I don't know how I'd react if I was Leah or if I was Justin. Because it's weird that she's coming home, but she's not ready to go home. So why isn't she not still in the clinic? If she's not, you know what I mean? If she's not better.
Yeah, is she ready or not? Yeah.
Why has she been discharged at all if she's not going home? So should she still be there, still having counselling, I assume, and everything else that's been happening? Is this a good idea to go to Marilyn's when she's not quite right? You know, is Marilyn and Alf the best people to look after her? A pensioner and someone who's got a full-time job. It just, I don't know. If she still needs care and she still can't go home, then it seems like a really weird decision. But then if I put myself in Justin's shoes, the last time he saw her, you know, she thought he was in a cult and that he was trying to kill her. And she went after him with a knife and then, you know, within an hour decided that she was, you know, she needed help and wanted to check herself into the clinic. So that's the last time he's seen her. And he's not had any contact with her for ages. He doesn't know how she is. He doesn't know whether she's any better or whether she's still, I don't know, for want of a better word, psychotic. You know what I mean? I don't know. I think the curiosity of wanting to know how she is would get the better of you. If you knew that she was in the bay. Yeah.
Of course it would. Yeah, absolutely. And it does for Justin. He goes over there, doesn't he? And she sends out to get rid of him, but steps out of the door anyway. Oh, I've lost all patience. She's lost me here. You know? And I'm not taking anything away from this whole psychotic episode. This has been really, really tough for Leah as well, having to go inside and she sits down, doesn't she, with Alf, and she says, you know, I pulled a knife out on my partner, on the man I love. I can't forgive myself for that. And I'm thinking, but does that warrant punishing him?
No.
I'm struggling, I think. Just struggling to see reason here. She says her reasons are complicated when she's talking to Alf. I'm just like, it all sounds like a little BS to me. Yeah. You know? Are you trying to get out of the wedding is in the back of my mind. Like, is this convenient? You know, the wedding's off. Like, I can backtrack on it all. I don't want to think like that, but but it's niggling away at me.
It's difficult, isn't it? I can't work out. Because before we had that conversation with Mr. Stewart, we found out how she felt. I just thought, okay, she's just not ready to come back. And she's, you know, she's come back for whatever reason, but she's not actually ready to be here. And maybe she should still be in the clinic, and maybe she's not better and everything else. And then when she had that conversation with Mr. Stewart, she said, I just feel guilty. You know, I feel really bad about it. And I just thought, well, I don't think that's a reason to hide away from him. Like, you feel guilty. It's like not wanting to take responsibility for it. So again, if you're not ready to apologize, or to explain, or I don't know, just affront him. Like, why can't she just, like, she's done worse than this to him. Like, you know what I mean? the amount of stuff they've been through over the years, I just don't know why she can't say, I'm really sorry. And, like, can we get past this? And then, of course, he's going to go, of course we can. I forgive you. There was no minute where I wasn't forgiving you for this. It's not your fault. You're ill.
Yeah.
I don't really get it. That's why I don't think that she should have been discharged. It's just very odd.
Yeah. Should have stayed in. Should have stayed in the clinic.
Yeah.
You've heard it from Sophie first. and everybody else, really. I mean, I know what it is. It's so we end up in a position where Theo's torn in two later in the week. You know, Justin's sending him to the diner, and then he's come. They're all each one of them, Leah and Justin, are asking how the other one is through Theo. So, and Theo's like, oh, bloody hell, just talk to him. Do you know what I mean? He's like, that whole, you know, Justin sending him for lunch and he coming back with a favourite thing he didn't order. And, oh, she does care. And I suppose you would be in Justin's shoes clutching onto those signs because he's getting no else off her.
He's got no idea, has he? I mean, that's the thing. Yeah. We, as an audience, we know that she's Mr. Stewart's feeling guilty and, like, doesn't know how to face him because she's done this awful thing to him and now she's just hiding, basically. That's how
well,
I'm seeing it.
By this point, she's back at work.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But he hasn't got a clue. Like, the last time he saw her, you know, she was being carted off, for want of a better word, and he hasn't heard and seen from her since. He doesn't know how she is, and she doesn't want to see him. Like, you can't blame him for thinking, oh, she doesn't love me anymore, she doesn't care about me anymore, she doesn't want to come home, relationship's over, we're not getting married. You know, and then to get mixed signals, so I don't want to see you, I don't want to talk to you, but I'm going to send you your favorite pudding or whatever it was. I'm like, I don't get it.
I know, yeah. And obviously he's going to hold on to that because he's had an out Elsa offer.
Yeah.
It's when she goes to him though and she sort of ends the relationship. You know,
I don't think he realized that's what it was though, did he?
No.
I think he's like, we were on a break. I think it's that she's like, no, we broke up, and he's like, no, we're on a break, we're just having a break from each other. No, it's a breakup. Is it a breakup or is it having a break? You know what I mean? There's a difference, isn't there?
Absolutely, very big. There's a gulf between the two of them. And she's sort of said, I can't be with you, I need to sort myself out. And he does agree in his words, I'm not going to fight it, but he's going to, isn't he? He's going to.
Yeah, it's Justin.
Leah's back in the bay anyway. Drama with it. Are we happy she's back? Are we feeling better about her? You know, we were a bit worried about it when she sort of went in and, you know, got sectioned and whatnot.
I don't know. I don't really get it. Yeah. I think she should still be in the clinic. I don't really want to see this. I don't really want to see her going to work and avoiding Justin and then just going back to Mr. Stewart's house. I'm not here for it. I don't know. I'm not feeling it. Are you?
No, I'm not. No. I'm not. Hope it doesn't last long and she moves on.
Yeah. It's too wishy-washy at the moment. It's too vague. It's like, are they a couple or aren't they a couple? And until I know either way, I can't get invested because I'm like, just tell me what's going on. Is she moving out permanently or are they getting back together? I just want to know. I don't want all the dilly dallying. I can't be bothered. Don't waste my time.
Don't get on with it.
I feel a bit like Justin. Like, I just want to know whether it's over or not, and then I can get on with my life.
yes, put us all out of our misery. Thank you. Someone else who needs putting out their misery, Tarnay over there, has found himself home alone after telling Harper to quit the gym, etc. last week. And he's feeling all down and out about himself, isn't he? And do you remember we had that whole blow up last week after Salt by the Sea event and the heart to heart with Flick? Harper then sees him at work and she's like, do I talk to him? Do I not talk to him? She stops herself. She's trying to keep a distance. You know, there was this awkward kiss and Tarnay completely misread the signals, being a bit of a man whore, because if he was a woman, we'd all be absolutely vilifying him. Just saying. She stops it. In the end, he does eventually speak to her and basically she's like, I overreacted, and he says the same, you know, by suggesting we went cold turkey from our friendship. It was just a bit extreme. Let's just be friends and start again, draw a line and agree to forget about it all. That's pretty much the be all and end all of what happened with them this week. But I wanted to bring it up because I wanted to know your thoughts. I was watching this thinking, this is them excusing how they feel, the guilt they feel about the kiss. We spoke quite strongly about Harper playing it last week and making it look like he was pursuing her. Now we're in a position where he's apologizing to her for overreacting. She has got him eating out of the palm of her hands, if you ask me.
Yeah.
And now she can sort of, she's doing him a favor by, you know, by drawing a line and moving on. Like, she's got the upper hand now. And I'm thinking in the coming weeks, we're going somewhere here where this is going to happen again, and she's going to orchestrate that. What are your thoughts?
Do you think so? I don't know. I can't see where this is going. No, I don't know because I'm finding this situation really, really strange because I can't get a read on because she's sending so many mixed signals. I can't actually get a read on whether she's interested in him or not, or whether she just wanted to do the chasey chase, and now it's actually real and she's gone, oh no, crap, I didn't mean to do that. I don't know. Do you think that these two could potentially end up as a couple then?
Yeah, or at least like something is actually going to happen.
Mm.
Like they're both free agents now. Like there's been a big thing about Flick and they're free, and Flick joining a dating thing and that whole number on the back of a beer mat. You know, there was all that going on elsewhere this week. Yeah. I don't know. I think.
But then we had Flick having the meltdown, didn't we? You know, so she, and we had that whole, you know, after the SCAD fundraiser, we had that moment with Flick and Tane where they got real and, they both said, well, I'm miserable. Okay, we're both miserable, but we still both want different things. So, you know, I still love you, but can't be with you. We had all of that. And now we've got Flick trying to move on, but clearly can't move on. And actually, Tane's not been around much this week because he seems to be conveniently away, as Mac kept saying. He's not here, he's away. I don't know whether I want to. Do you want to see Harper?
No, I don't. I don't want to see it, but I feel like Harper is playing a right game here. Whether it's because I've taken a dislike to her, but I'm like, she has got him right where she wants him.
But you think that, because I can't work out whether she does want him. Like, she's obviously, she wants the power play, I think. But I can't work out whether she actually wants Tane. Or whether she just wants...
come on, Sophie.
Obviously.
You're not going to say no.
If I was, I wouldn't have said no on the first time around if she did. So you can't compare me with Harper, really. But... I don't know. It's just that whole, you're my only friend and you've ruined our friendship. She went really over the top with the whole, you shouldn't have done that. But then obviously she does. I don't know. I can't call it. I'm finding it really weird. I don't like her.
I don't like her. I think she's getting a clause into her. I'm team Flick. Flick can see it. I can see what Flick can see. I think she knows what she's doing. She could have anybody else as a friend in the bay. She's chosen the hot, demigod personal trainer who's married and going through a tough time, who's vulnerable. She's found her in and she is using it.
That's right.
What I think.
Because looking at it from the other side then, she's saying, oh, I felt bad for him, his marriage is ending, etc. So, you know, he hadn't got a friend. She didn't offer any of that to Flick, did she, who's also going through the same thing? She could have been a girlfriend to her.
I rest my case. There we go.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
She's only offered it to Muscles.
But the thing that I'm not getting past still in my head is the fact that we don't have Flick and Tane anymore because of the fact that he wants a marriage, he wants a wife, he wants a family, he wants children. Yeah. That's his be all and end all. If he just wanted to have sex and, you know, have a fling or whatever and not have responsibilities, it doesn't add up with why his marriage is broken down.
Do you remember a couple of weeks back we were saying Tane's behaviour is not right? It's completely out of character. He's not. Whether this is deliberate, whether it's just in the writing, is somebody else writing these eps? I don't know. But yeah, he's not staying true to the reasoning behind why we're here, is he?
Why is he kissing Harper? Does he know that Harper wants to get married and have children, or is he just?
And he slept with that other girl, didn't he?
From the nightclub or wherever. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make sense. If he just wants. So why is he not with Flick? If he loves Flick and he's not I don't get it. I don't get it, because it's not like he's looking. It's not like he's looking for a wife. It's not like he's gone on a dating show, you know, like Married at First Sight, you know, to get a wife, yeah, to get a family, or, you know what I mean? I can't reconcile what he says with what he's doing. It doesn't make sense.
It's the long road back is what, yeah, it is.
Oh, well, God.
Yeah. You know who'll end up compromising, and this is the frustrating thing. That's what it is. But in the meantime, it's all going to get messy with Harper. I'm telling you now.
Yeah.
Don't get messy. Right. Speaking of mess, Bree doesn't want any at the hospital.
Germs.
She's stopped. This is awkward now, isn't it? She's stopping people visiting him. Kirby's gone up there and, you know, she's trying to shut it down. She's wet wiping his food tray and all his plates.
Murdered a helium balloon.
Which, by the way, would wake you up.
she murdered it. Like, she proper took it out like her ex. You know what I mean? Like, oh my God.
Took it out like her ex. Okay.
Get the shovel out. Hit the balloon. What the hell? She's lost the plot, hasn't she? I mean, I think she's heard that speech that Levi gave to, because Eden and Levi had that minute, didn't they, where she was like, is he going to be okay? And he said, well, you know, he's got a long way to go. You know, he's prone to infection now. So it's really just about making him sure he's stable, making sure he doesn't catch anything, and then he can heal. And she heard all that, didn't she, and kicked off. And now she's got paranoid that, you know, any slight germ on him and he's going to die. It's a bit extreme, isn't it?
It comes from anxiety, doesn't it? And it's all connected with her mental health.
Yes.
But yes, it's very extreme. And I'm a bit perplexed as to why people don't find it more alarming. You know, because Kirby sort of retreats because she's not allowed in the room, complains a bit. Is it Eden? I can't remember now who she complains to. Is it Eden? Oh, somebody says, no, go back there. And she does.
Oh, yeah. It might be. Was it Rose? I can't remember.
Might have been Rose, yeah. She ends up going back and sort of barging back in, you know, with the magazines, dirty magazines. Not that kind of dirty magazine.
Germ magazines,
yeah. The band music magazine. And chocolates. And Bree's like having hyperventilating in the corner thinking, no, germs. So, and no one's sort of thinking, Bree's not coping with this very well.
And also, she works in a hospital, doesn't she? So, not being funny, but if you're trying to keep somewhere, I mean, hospitals, they're meant to be sterile, clean environments, aren't they? But we've all been to one, and we feel gross when you've been, gross when you've been to hospital, don't you? You feel like you need a shower when you come home, because you're just like, I feel like it's on me. So I think if you work in a hospital all day long and have done for years, you would get used to that environment, wouldn't you? And it would be unusual to get the wet wipes out, and if you don't normally go around wiping everybody's tray tables every 5 minutes, which is what a doctor doesn't do. I've never seen a doctor, you know, disinfect a lunch tray table before, but you're right. Why has nobody noticed? Why has Remy not noticed? I know he's been zonked out for some of this, but he has been awake for, you know, these conversations where she said, no visitors, he needs to rest, he needs to.
Yeah, why is he not thinking that's a bit alarming? That behavior.
No one's noticed yet. Maybe it needs to escalate before anyone actually.
Which obviously will give us a TV show, so it probably will.
Yes.
No, yeah. I'm sitting here thinking, who's there for Bree? You know, that's what I'm thinking throughout all this. So.
Well, the thing is, if she doesn't let people in to see him, no one's going to see her wigging out, are they? That's the other thing.
Well, that's true, but Kirby's definitely experienced it. And I'm shocked that she wasn't sort of, are you okay, hon? You know?
She need a break.
Right, so we'll keep an eye on that one. That's one to watch here at Coastal News. One to watch. Right. Leave up right the story of the week, right? So he's been avoiding Levi, he's been avoiding Max since that kiss. You know, he busied himself cracking open some chests, etc. she's getting discharged, isn't she, this week? And we said she would. We said she can't be in there much longer. It's been weeks. Come on. Didn't we last week? We said it's getting like casual, eh? So she'll have to get, she'll have to, and we're right, she's out now, isn't she? So now she makes him go back because he's not been there. I think he was hoping she would just sort of be discharged out of sight and he'll slope back off to the city. But she wasn't doing that easily. She's made some excuse to get him back to the hospital, of which he's there like, yep, obs are fine, everything's good, yeah, you're good to go, see you later. Really cold, and she wasn't expecting it, because she's like, oh my god, we have this really amazing kiss, and we're like, we're gonna, you know,
and Xander's there, isn't he? Xander's in the room, and he does. He was it Xander, or was it Marley? It was Xander, wasn't it?
Xander.
It was Xander, yeah. God, my memory's bad. So he was in the room, and I think he said something like, oh, should I give you a minute? And he was like, no, you can stay. And then Max's face was like, oh, we're playing that game. Because obviously she doesn't want to mention it in front of anyone else. He knows that she won't mention it in front of him.
Yeah.
So there's like this unspoken awkwardness, isn't there, where she clearly wants to ask him a question and he clearly wants to avoid it, but she doesn't know what to do.
Yeah, yeah. And it takes her back a bit, doesn't she? She ends up discharged, goes home, back to the farmhouse. And she sort of leaves this voicemail to him that's just sort of like a look.
Yeah.
You know where we are, basically.
Mm.
And we later find out that his behaviour, his sort of the way he handled that whole thing when she's being discharged at the hospital was probably because he was trying to tell himself no. Because we see him later on, he listens to the voicemail and he drives up to the farm. He mustn't have heard about the bus.
You and that bus. Oh, what you're like, I'm going to print you a timetable for that bus for your wall.
So he's gone up there in the car and we hear him on the phone.
Yeah, Imogen.
Imogen, which we can only assume is his better half.
Yeah. Actually. I mean, he's not wearing a wedding ring, is he? I tried to look a couple of times. And obviously, Mac would notice that, you'd think. And this is the other thing I'm finding confusing. So he's got this other half, but we don't know anything about her yet. So everyone's assuming it's his wife. And I'm thinking, well, I don't see any evidence of it being a wife, but he obviously has got somebody, I think. But then Eden obviously doesn't know that he has, because she hasn't mentioned, like,
this is very interesting you mention Eden, because I was thinking the same thing. Like, I mean, she's not, they've not seen each other since they were 15, I feel, let's face it. So
I know, but I've been really overthinking this week. So, you know, when they end up having that girls' day and Eden, Mac calls Flick, doesn't she? Invites her over. Yeah. But then Flick brings Eden. And I think at this point, I was like, I wish you hadn't brought Eden, because now Mac can't talk to Flick about what happened with Levi.
Yeah, and I was like, what's Eden going?
I know. I was like, she's not going to say anything in front of her, because, you know, that's her brother and she knows there's beef between them. So they're not going to talk about it. So she's not going to tell Flick, and she's, you know, we're not going to get to hear like what's going on. Yeah. She did try, didn't she? Mac tried to sort of question her a little bit about her brother and like, oh yeah, so you know, you never know, you might come back in your life, you might end up like seeing him more often. And she was like, oh no, I doubt it, he'll just go back to the city, go back to his life. And I thought at that point, because I think she said something like he's got a really good team where he works, and he, you know, it takes something special to get him to, you know, come away from that or whatever. And at that point, Mac was probably thinking, well, I wish I was the something special that would bring him back to the bay. But she didn't say, like, Eden at that point, and he's got a family, or and he's got a girlfriend, or he's got a wife, or whatever. And I was thinking, well, would she know that? But a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the fact that Levi is still in contact with Mum. And he knew all about the lyric album, and he knew all about, you know, Eden's life.
Mm.
So why wouldn't, conversely, wouldn't Mum be still telling, even though maybe Eden wouldn't be interested, but Mum might say to him, oh, by the way, your brother got married, or your brother's got a wife, or your brother's got a girlfriend, or whatever. You'd think that Eden would know that basic information about her brother, even if she doesn't speak to him or see him, because Mum does.
Yeah, you'd think so via Mum, wouldn't you, that she'd know stuff.
Like, if he knows something as banal as the fact that Lyric have got an album out that only 8 people have bought on vinyl, you know what I mean? Like, it's just... Yeah,
but nobody can get on Spotify.
Brie had to get it specially made on vinyl, for God's sake. I mean, that's how rare this record is. And Levi knows about it, so...
Yeah, you're right, so... you're right. You have thought deeply there, but you're right. When you
I
got
had like
there,
half an hour in the shower. I was like, I need to work this out. I need to work out what's going on. Because I was desperate for that conversation. I was desperate for Mac to say it out loud to someone, you know, and say that this has happened and this is how we reacted. And because I don't feel like she's really understood the situation that she's in, or she really analysed his reactions or his or lack of reactions, I guess. And why is he acting like this? Why hasn't he said to her, whoa, 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 I've got a girlfriend?
Well, I was about to say, we are now building the type of character he is, right? We've already mentioned we don't like the way he talks to patients. We don't like the way he carries himself at the hospital. Do you remember he did this, this arrogant thing that Brie told him he was last week when he just busted open...
Yes. Many.
This God complex, as you called it. We didn't like that. And now he's going around, he's attached to somebody called Imogen. He's ringing her up and saying, I'm not going to get home tonight. I'm working late. It's part of the job. I'll see you tomorrow, babe. Love you lots. And then he's going into Mac's house and saying things like, what did he say to her?
That it wasn't professional, didn't he? Said
that's
it's unprofessional.
I'll never cross the boundaries. I'm thinking, you've planned to spend the night already.
Already said he wasn't coming home. He didn't say, I'm going to be an hour later than I said, because I'm going to spend an hour talking to Mac and telling him I've got a girlfriend. He didn't say that at all, did he? He just said, I'm not coming home.
He's gone there with intent on not leaving that evening. Like,
yeah,
I was thinking, these are the building blocks of the type of person he is. So,
and is this
would
why?
Would he say something? No, he wouldn't.
No,
he's
exactly.
a liar. He's a dog.
Lying by omission, isn't he? By not saying anything. Is this why we had to have that horrible storyline to start with about Eden and Levi and dad versus mum and all that stuff? Because we needed to know that Levi is okay with cheaters because he took his dad's side, and like father, like son, you know.
Look who my role model was. It's okay to do this, it's okay to treat women this way, it's going to be that kind of thing, isn't it?
I think that it makes more sense now, doesn't it? Because we were like, why have we got this weird storyline? Like, you know, why is Mum still on good terms with Levi, but Eden can't get past it? You know, Mum's the one that's been wronged, and Eden's the one that's acting like she's been cheated on, and she, you know, it was really weird, wasn't it? But now, it's like, okay, it was telling us that Levi took his dad's side, and you know, maybe he has got it in him to do the same thing. To have his cake and eat it, have a long term partner and have an affair with Mac. It's weird, isn't
and then my second thought after all that was, Mac's gonna get her heart broken again here.
That just bloody fixed it.
As it would happen, ironically. And you know, and it's one tragedy after another for this girl.
It's always men, isn't it? I mean, Gabe, last one was Gabe, who turned up and said he was dying and left her and then died.
Well, she soon forgot about him, love of her life, so-called.
Oh, God. I don't get it. Like, you know the original kiss that happened? So she kissed him.
Yeah.
And to me, it looked like he kissed her back and then stopped himself. And then he wigged out, and then he walked to the lift and disappeared, didn't he?
Yeah.
But at no point did he push her off and say, I have a girlfriend. At that point, he then avoided her. So he knew it was wrong. He knew that he shouldn't have done it. He then avoided her and tried to, like you say, tried to disappear back to the city without seeing her. Then he got summoned to her house and he actually did turn up. And at this point, he could have turned up and said, I've got a girlfriend, or I don't know. Why has he not done it? Why has he not said it?
We can only assume or draw an inference that his feelings for Mark are so strong, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, that he's questioning his relationship with the other one.
Yeah, he's going through something internal with it all. But he's not going to make many friends amongst the audience, I'll tell you that. I can already tell. because there's a moral implication here. He's supposed to be a man you can trust. He's a doctor. Mm. What I love about this is Marley, because obviously he's at this house. They're kissing again. You know, they're flirting it up. Marley's come home and seen it, and he's not having a bar of it, is he? And do you know what? If this is what it takes for me to get on board with Marley more, I'm all for it. Like, because Marley's a bit of a wet lettuce, isn't he, sometimes?
You
know, you just like grow a pair of cojones. And do you know what I mean? Like, and he had some this week, didn't he?
He did, but actually I got annoyed with him, I'll be honest.
Did you?
Yeah, because, and I'll explain my reason why, and you probably won't agree with me. But, you know, because he saw them kissing, didn't he? And then he went and left them to it. And then he came back through the other door later on.
Yeah, I didn't understand that.
It's like, ta-da! And they kind of leapt apart, didn't they? And then pretended that it was all cool. And then he pretended he didn't know. And it was like that really awkward, like. And then he was like, oh, he's still here, to Levi. And he was like, yeah, are you? Yeah, I live here. It was all very macho, you know, dick measuring contest kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he was like, oh, I'll see you out then. Like, basically, because at that point, before he'd walked in, I think Mac had said, should we take this to the bedroom? And Levi was like, yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
And then then Mark Cockblocker appears and says, no. And then obviously kind of escorts him out of the house, doesn't he? Kind of says, well, I'll walk you out then. Come on then. So then Mac and Levi don't get a chance to talk anymore. And they don't get a chance to say goodbye or kiss or whatever. It's just, he's just being escorted out of the house by Marley. And at this point, Marley's not spoken to Mac, and that's what annoyed me. Marley's not pulled her to one side first and said, what's going on? How do you feel about him? You know, what, you know, is this a good idea? Have you thought about it? He's not gone to her. He's gone straight to him and said, get away. And I feel that's where I feel like he's crossed the line, because I'm like, she's not your property. She's not your...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel, don't speak for her. Do not
I get what
speak.
You mean now. Yeah, I see it now, you've explained it. Because actually last week I was sort of saying, wasn't I? You know, Marley's interfering, saying, you're my sister, and blah, blah, blah. And I was saying, why doesn't Mac just tell him to fucking rack off, man? You're just a lodger. You know, like, get out of my grill. I was saying all that last week, and this week I'm like, yeah, Marley, yeah, you tell him. but it's because I know. It's because I know he's a dirty dog, but Marley doesn't know at this point, does he? I need to remember that.
No, Marley doesn't know. I mean, Marley's thinking it's her doctor, this is gross misconduct, and, you know, you shouldn't be kissing your patient, and it's, you know, getting into trouble. He's threatening all of this, isn't he? He's threatening his job and everything. Yeah. And I was sort of screaming at the TV, and I was like, don't you dare speak for Mac until you've spoken to her and you've found out the full story. You've just seen something, made an opinion, and then gone off at him like a Rottweiler, you know, back off. And I thought, what's the agenda here, Marley? Are you interested in Mac? Are you being protective as a kind of brother? Or is there something else going on here? You know, is this the, oh, she's mine? I don't know. I just got, it made me feel a bit strange.
Yeah, I hear that now. Now you've said it, I get that. Yeah, I think I'm being a little bit sort of shallow. I'm just going with it. And, you know, last week I was slagging that, and this week I'm like, Marley's great. because I've taken a dislike to Levi. you know what I mean? Because of what he's doing.
Yeah, and Mac doesn't know either. I mean, the crucial bit is Mac doesn't know because she hasn't asked him. This is another thing that I'm a bit confused about. She hasn't actually asked Levi, A, are you single? And B, do you like me?
Yeah, she's made a massive assumption, hasn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Marley doesn't know that he's not single either. So they don't know that he's a dog. But I feel like Marley needed to pull Mac to one side and give her a reality check first.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah. Hashtag me too. right, okay. Over at the surf club. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
So, the secretary has resigned. They're falling like dominoes.
I was waiting for the song of the podcast to happen, and there's my earworm for the weekend.
Sorry. The committee falls like dominoes. So, there's no management, no club. Is what Al says.
What do they keep saying? No quorum or something?
Yeah, I've tried Googling it. I'm thinking there's some lingo about surf clubs I don't know about here.
I couldn't work out what he was saying. Like, I thought he said chorus the first time. I was like, no chorus? What the hell?
No
is it a lyric? Is it a lyric song? Did he say there's no quorum? I don't get it. I don't know. It wasn't a word that's in my vocab, whatever it was. Quorum. I don't know. Somebody tell us. Who's on a committee that knows about these words? Because it made no
sense.
There's no people.
you and I. Right. So Ruse found out, though, that this might have something to do with Simon Henderson. Drawing the dots. because if she hears on the grapevine, remember she's got contacts, you know, and she hears that, you know, he's been going around getting him to quit. This isn't news to me, so I'm surprised it's news to her at this point. And Gerald isn't happy. He's got twice the workload.
I've got two jobs. Gerald, two jobs.
Sort it out, Stuart. I'm up to my neck in it, love. And it's all going to pot now. You know, and the listeners know, I am here for the circle going to pot because I want this kind of story. So yeah. I'm all over this like a rash, Sophie, this week. Banjo's back, and I'm happy about that as well because, you know, I took a bit of a liking to him when I saw his little bike and he's saving the planet. And
little man bun, yeah.
Yeah, little hippie banjo. I'm happy he's back. What about you? Nice to see him again.
I'm not bothered either way, I'll be honest.
I don't know. I've taken a shine to the poor lad.
I don't know whether I have. I don't dislike him, but I don't know.
I want to see more of him and his father. I want to.
Yeah, I don't find him that interesting yet. I'll be honest. No.
I think it's pining over poor Dane. It's going to be a love triangle. You just know it.
I don't blame him, to be honest. This week, just all over it. But yeah.
Well, and she was there.
Yes.
Plump. Yeah.
She looked lovely. She did look lovely. I was quite jealous. Yeah.
I'm 20% straight. Gerald's not happy with the workload. Banjo's back in class, star student, because, you know, John Dent make him do anything again, any more complaints. He just says, look, your exam's not going to happen yet for your gold medallion. Circle of politics, staying out of it. And Dana overhears Alf come over and speak to John with all these issues that are happening with the surf club. You know, everyone's, the secretary's gone. We're in dire straits here. We're going to have to close because we've got no staff, basically. So Dana, having overheard this, sort of has a chat with Banjo, mentions it, and he says, come to think of it, all these members have been at my house and getting wads of cash off me dad. And you're like, right, okay.
He's not very bright, is he?
No.
Oh, yeah. That reminds me. Oh, God. Come on, Banjo.
It did seem sus, but I was just scratching to the door for me Deliveroo, so I thought nothing of it.
She was like, do they usually come round your house? He was like, no. I was like, oh dear.
Wake up, Banjo.
Get there quicker. Key information here. Hello.
If you had an engine on that bike of yours, you might just do.
Yeah, that would work, maybe.
Now, Dana, she wants to hear more about it. She takes him, you know, come and tell me more. And I'm thinking, oh, God, this, remember, because there was this mix-up about them having a date. So I'm starting to feel a bit of a Banjo here, because I'm like, oh, God, he's getting led on here. And she's obviously wholly concerned about the surf club, not about him.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think we need to watch poor Banjo if he's sticking around, because he's got the hots for her and she's completely oblivious to it. Dana, in turn, goes to Rue with this information and they go down to YCPD. Well, that's your first mistake. What you should have done, get a river boy on the go. Right?
Get the Coastal News on it.
Yes. Yeah. Get the media behind you. Get to Mangrove River and find Heath. He'll sort it out.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
However, you've gone to YCPD. So.
Yeah.
Now it's going to happen. Rose doesn't even look sure anything's happening. Like, is this a crime or not? I don't know. You're the police, Rose. You tell us. Good Lord.
They're like, is it blackmail, Rose? And she's like, I don't know. Maybe.
like I'm literally at the TV going, you're the police.
Maybe. Who knows? Who knows? Who can say? Anyway, I'm going to go to Salt and get a donut.
Good Lord.
It's not really what you the response that you wanted, was it? Like, is this a crime? Fucked if I know. Oh, cheers. Thanks for your help.
Am I going to die, Brie?
Probably, yeah. Get one round the bed. Say goodbye.
Take a seat. she does interview him. We're being facetious, but she does interview him. And Banjo comes in and he's like wondering why everybody else is there.
Mm.
Bless him. He's in the split sort of 30-second scene. He's got to decide whether he's going to shop his dad in or not for potential sort of blackmail and fraud. Now, I work in a local government. These things are very serious, you know. You know, this whole taking bribes and stuff, it's serious business, you know.
Is it serious when it's a volunteer job at a surf committee, though? Is it as serious?
There must be some sort of public money involved.
Council. No, it's money. It's I know, but the Simon Henderson's money, the 30 grand or whatever it is that he sponsors them, that's his personal money that he donates from his business, isn't it? So it's not taxpayer money, it's money that he's earned. It's his money that he's paid tax on, probably, that he's earned, that he's donating out of the kindness of his heart, apparently. And aren't the committee members, aren't they volunteers? So they don't even get paid. So whatever he pays them is more, obviously more than the circle is going to pay them anyway. That's why I'm wondering whether it wasn't explained to us, but that is that why Rose was struggling with what exactly is this?
Yeah, maybe, because, yeah, you're probably right, because it looks like she's not taking it seriously, but you're right, there might not have actually been a crime committed.
I can't work out. It's a very grey area, because it's his money, he can do what he wants with it, essentially. It's weird that he's paying them off, but then they're doing a voluntary job, so actually they're getting paid to leave, which they wouldn't get paid to stay, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I suppose as the audience, on the surface, all we need to know is, without Simon Henderson's cash,
yeah,
the club can't function, is probably all the level we need to know, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
She does invite him for an interview, but he refuses, so it doesn't look like it's that.
No.
Legally, it's not really that pressing, because she'd have gone round and arrested him, wouldn't she?
Yeah. I don't think she's got any evidence of anything at the moment, because she said to John something like, he said, is it blackmail? Is it a crime? And she said, well, it depends if he benefits from them stepping down.
Oh, yeah. And he turns around and says he gave him a gift. So I don't know, because you're then implicating half the committee, really, because by accepting, if you work in a public figure like that, by accepting a gift, you are also guilty. So I don't know where it's a bit sticky, isn't it? And we don't really know the rules.
Because he doesn't benefit. That's what we got confused about. Because if he's donating money to the surf club, his interest is for the surf club to keep going because he's sponsored. He sponsors it. So, you know, he's not doing it out of the kindness of his heart. He's sponsoring the club, presumably, because they then promote his business. Promote him.
Yeah, he's benefiting by exposure, advertising, isn't he? You'd assume.
So, if he pulls his sponsorship, he doesn't get that anymore. So he's not benefiting. It's very confusing, this storyline, actually.
Well, he's pulled it anyway, all 30k of it. And it looks like the surf club's going to fold. And everyone's rallying around. You can't have home and away with no surf club, can you?
I know. Just as we've had that whole, you know, the big hoo-ha about Alf's 35-year service. And now, weeks later, the club is in disarray. It's mad.
Okay, who would have thunk it? I love it though. I do love it.
It's mad. How could we go from celebrating a big milestone to then the end of an era? Because if the club goes under,
come on, Sophie, it's not going to go under. Just roll with it.
Do you not think there's any parallel whatsoever?
No, it's not going to happen. Bruce had an idea. Take me on as secretary so we can keep functioning. What are your thoughts here? Because Rue was obviously interim manager. Rue's interimming.
And we're back to scat.
Oh, God.
Full circle. Oh, dear.
Oh, my God. And I think it'll suit her, some sort of secretary job. We're all complaining that she doesn't have a job and she's a freeloader.
She does need secretary, a job.
Secretary of the surf club, get in there, girl. What do you think?
Yeah, why not? I mean, this is the stuff that we've been saying that she's good at. She's good at organising things. She's good at the crisis stuff, isn't she? Last minute, raising funds. You know, this is all stuff that's in her wheelhouse. She's an events coordinator. She's done all sorts in the past. And she does seem to have the powers of persuasion, doesn't she? She's very good at sort of getting people on side and getting them to, because she got people to donate all kinds of prizes for that golf tournament they did last year, didn't she? That was very last minute, getting people to part with their cash and their property and what have you. So it seems like it's in her wheelhouse. And we have been saying, you and I, so this is probably our fault, that she needs a purpose for probably 18 months now. We've been saying that, haven't we?
Yeah. Easy, yeah.
So I didn't see this coming, did you? But I'm glad in a way.
No, I didn't see it coming, but you're right, it fits. It just fits, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Right, do we want to briefly mention, before we round up the podcast, do we want to briefly mention Cash and his suspension review?
Yeah.
Anything to say about it? He goes for it, it seems to go well. But he later finds out that he can have it back, and it all, you know, you can have your job back, Cash. Yay! But demotion and reduced responsibilities, and he's told them to 0121, shove it.
Well, I was shocked. Didn't we predict desk duties for a while when he came back? Didn't we predict this?
We predicted it here at Coastal. That was a Coastal News exclusive. We said that would happen.
I didn't think it was that surprising. I didn't think it was as surprising as his reaction to it. I thought he would. There would have to be consequences, not just here's your job back.
Yeah.
Because
you
can't just. What message is that sending to other policemen who decide. Police officers, sorry. Policeman officers who decide to go off and you know, take the law into their own hands.
Yeah, exactly. Do you think he's been off on suspension full pay for too long and he's got used to the sofa life?
Yes, it could be that, couldn't it? Yeah.
Daytime telly.
And also, he hangs around with Eden all day, who doesn't do anything. So. He hasn't really
They all just seem to spend Kirby's royalties.
I know. And sponge off Flick's business. Yeah. Yeah. He's not hanging around with motivated people, is he, that are career minded and what have you. So he's got used to that loafer life, hasn't he?
I'm thinking that because he's told Eden, look, I've told him to shove this job now. I'm not going back. If I'm not on the beat and I'm answering the phone or whatever, I'm not going back. I'm sitting here thinking, well, what are you going to do, lad? It's hardly a wash with jobs around here.
No.
You know? What is the plan here? You've not thought this through. Surf Club Committee, yeah. Gerald's got a list as long as his arm.
Look, I doubt it, but yeah, it could be.
It's not the kind of job you just go, fuck this, I'll find another job. Mm. Is it? Like, being in that kind of job, it's your life.
It's a vocation, isn't it?
It's not just a job. So,
but what do coppers do when coppers aren't coppers anymore? What do? They usually go into like security and stuff, don't they?
Well, yeah. My dad was a policeman.
Was he?
Many years. Yeah, retired because they retire earlier.
Yeah.
They can't run. I can't catch anybody. and now he works in like a printer
business. Oh, right. That's a really different. Because I was thinking, like, what's the skill set that a copper has that he could do? I don't know. Like, they usually go into, like, you know, like, you know, those vans.
Bouncers.
That have got... No, I was thinking, like, you know, vans that have got, like, armoured, you know, they carry money and stuff, like Securitas.
Oh,
and...
the Loomis, yeah.
Yeah, like those kind of, like the armoured vans or whatever they call them. And then they have like an ex-policeman driving them. So if they get like, somebody tries to pull them over or steal what's in the van or whatever, they've got someone that's trained to...
Bang, bang, shut you down, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Bang, bang,
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, well, is there much? I suppose the diner.
You've got no idea.
Do we think he's going to end up back in the force at some point?
Because at the moment we've only got Rose, who's apparently getting a promotion just by default.
Oh yeah, yeah. And she doesn't even know what a crime is.
It's true.
We're absolutely buggered in the summer bay, aren't we? With no law, no real law enforcement. What are we going to do?
I know. Oh dear, it's all gone to pot. Cash, take your job back. Get over your pride. Take the desk job. Work your way back. 3 months. 3 months from now, he'll be back to being Sarge or whatever he was before. Right, we've got a bit of a theme this week on Your Sound the Bay.
A theme?
A theme, yeah.
A theme.
A theme. We're going to talk about kissing people that you probably shouldn't be kissing.
Oh, no. Mm. Oh, no. Oh, no.
No. So I thought it might be interesting because obviously this is Your Sound the Bay. So I've been digging through social media. I've been reading comments from people that have been watching Home and Away in the UK. I'm going to read some of the comments out to you, Si, now, but I thought it might be interesting because there's comments about Tane kissing Harper, obviously, and there's comments about Levi kissing Mac, and it might be interesting to compare the types of comments that we're getting and what people are saying about Harper and Tane and what people are saying about Levi.
When you say interesting, so there's obviously a difference in reaction.
Well, we'll see, shall we?
Oh, gosh. Okay, I love this theme. Let's go.
Okay. Quick reminder, though, we are also on social media. So while I'm digging through social media, looking at what you guys think, we are also on social media telling you what we think. So Coastal News Podcast at Coastal News Pod. We're on everything, Facebook, Instagram, Threads, YouTube, Twitter, etc. We do tweet along. I'm still saying tweet along with the show. 6:30 p.m. Monday to Friday, because we watch it on 5 Star here in the UK at that time, and we do tweet along. So come and join us, talk about everything that's going on in Summer Bay, tell us your thoughts, and we might just read out your comment next week on Your Sound the Bay. So let's have a look at then Levi. Let's start with Levi, shall we? Are you ready?
Right. Oh no. Well, I'm braced. I'm braced.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, this section is called Levi's a Pig.
Oink, oink.
Oink, oink. Stinking pig is a stinking pig. And the reason why it's called that is because you put a poll on the old Twitter, didn't you, this week, as we were just saying about, we do tweet along with the show, and you put a poll up on our Twitter page this week saying, okay, so looks like Levi's attached and cheating. So is he a pig? You know, is he not a pig? What do we have? So we got 52 votes, which again is surprising me, guys. Where are you coming from, you guys on Twitter? Because we're not getting 52 people aren't talking to us every week, but there's 52 of you out there that do vote on our polls regularly. Nice,
you.
Come out of the woodwork, come and talk to us. So 50%, so roughly 25 people said yes, he's a pig. He's a big pig for this.
Big pig. Yeah.
People are saying, because you ask them, you know, has their opinion changed? So people are saying, yes, he's a pig, changed my opinion of him, and now I don't like him. Some people were saying, no, I didn't like him anyway. So 23% saying, opinion has not changed of him. I didn't like him before. So he was a pig before, he's still a pig now, basically. And then there's a few people saying, no, go for it, pal. So 17% of people are saying, not a pig. Not changing my opinion of him. Get in there, you know, go for it, lad.
All the blokes, yeah.
Probably. Or maybe some of the housewives that, you know, having a bit of a steamy moment thinking about Levi. Who knows? We don't know. We don't know who your 52 people are. So come and tell us who you are so we can work this out. But 10% of people, clueless, have voted for who? What? Who? What's going on? Don't even know about this storyline and have voted anyway, but there we go. So that's interesting, isn't it? So yeah, roughly half of them have said, yeah, my opinion's changed and now I think he's a pig.
That's very interesting, because that means the tide's turned quite, you know, half of those, very anecdotal sample, but half of them, if you multiply that by everyone watching, I mean, he's not going to be popular, is he? For this.
No.
People feel really strongly about cheats. Like, some people put cheating over murder. You know, like, it really, that invoke, because it's relatable. At some point, many of us have been on the receiving end of a cheat.
That's true. Yeah.
So people feel really strongly about it. But yeah, Levi's got his work cut out, as gorgeous as he is. He's got his work cut out to win us all back, I think.
Yeah, I want to hear his story. I want to hear him tell Mac, actually. I don't want to see him just go home and talk to this woman and just get on with his life. I want him to have that conversation with Mac and say, I should have told you that when I kissed you, or when you kissed me, actually, more accurately, that I'm attached and I'm not actually single. He didn't ask me, but I didn't tell you either, so...
Yeah, and like, what's the reason?
Like, no, I don't know.
Like, because, right, we're assuming, we're looking at this in a very sort of monogamy type lens.
Yeah. We don't know the situation.
Yeah, like, is this okay? Like, and that's why he's not really doing the things we'd expect him to do.
Is he in a polyamorous relationship?
Yeah.
Is he in an open relationship? Is she abusive? You know, is it a Bree situation but reversed, because, you know, gender roles are reversed? I don't know. Like, because nobody was digging Bree, were they? When Bree was essentially cheating on Jacob, nobody was bashing her because Jacob was so vile.
Well, to be fair, we didn't condone it, did we, you and I?
No, but we did think it was hot.
But we didn't. We understood that she came from a place of sort of escape from that hell. Yeah. Is it? Yeah, you're right. Is it the same situation? There's a lot of questions still, and I think we've probably all drawn a conclusion very early.
Yeah,
based on the usual trope, the usual, you know, what we probably all associate with a womanizer.
Yeah, because that's the classic soap, you know.
Yeah.
bigamist, philandering, you know, kind of guy, isn't it? So, yeah. Well, Just Jen on Twitter has got two words. Just Jen. Two words for Levi. Gross misconduct.
Well, now he said it. The people at the hospital will love to hear about this.
Marley's such a gossip. What would Madge Wilkins say? Oh, dear.
Well, the people at the hospital board would love to hear about this.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
Gross misconduct. Yeah. And it's a technicality and you know it, says Marley. He thinks it's okay because, you know, he's gone and pursued a driven, not even got the bus, driven up to the farm and, you know, arranged to spend the night there, but only after she got discharged. So that's okay. That's okay.
She's no longer in my care as of this morning.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I'm getting really riled. Oh, go on. Go on.
So, Mr. David has contacted us on the poll and said, I was immediately suspicious of him. I knew he was hiding something. Plus, as Eden's brother, he had to have something wrong with him. So, interesting. Yeah, not a fan of Eden. Not a fan of Eden not a fan of Levi.
Quite vocal, Mr. David, about Eden.
Very vocal.
No, he did say, didn't he? He's not always been like that.
No, I think he said that Eden was one of his favourites recently. I think probably when I saw, you know, when I said I've fallen out of love with her, because I thought she was great, and then I had a wobble with her. So I think a few people have had the same wobble with Eden. I'm getting a bit annoyed with her flakiness and her, you know, like she was ordering champagne in Salt when Cash was celebrating getting his job and stuff, getting his job back. And I was like, you haven't got a job. Whose money is this?
Nobody likes a lazy scrounger, do they?
No, and from the point of view of like independent woman type, you know, I'm like, get a job and pay for your own champagne. Sorry.
Yeah.
Don't sponge off your boyfriend. It's not cool.
Yeah, related to that, it's going to be bad news, is what Mr. Dave is saying.
I think
there's been signs since he's arrived. I can understand why people haven't liked him, because there's been signs from the beginning. I told you I don't like the way he carries himself, talks to people. He literally shoved Xander out the way. Move.
That wasn't cool.
And he's disliked, you know, he had a bit of a beef with
him. That's assault, isn't it? Really, you can't go around putting your hands on people anyway, no matter what the situation. And he did that at work in his job. Put his hands on a visitor, a patient. I mean, that's just you're not allowed to actually touch people. That is assault. So, he doesn't think the rules apply to him, does he?
No, yeah, he's above it. He's above it. And does that same mentality apply to his relationships?
Who knows? Farnie's got in touch and Farnie said he is a bit of a sex pest weirdo. Sex pest weirdo. It's way more than the usual god complex of a surgeon. I can't quite put my finger on it, but he is quite the narcissist. But hopefully he'll be a full-on Dr. Nasty, because we need a good baddie.
We do need a camp baddie, don't we? I love...
We haven't had a baddie doctor for a while.
No, yeah. Doing the whole drugging people, saline, or whatever. Yeah, you're right. What was the first part of Farnie's comment? Sorry.
Sex-pest weirdo.
That was it.
Sex-pest. That's quite a label, isn't it? Because is he a sex-pest when Max did all the running and, you know, all the...
I don't know. I'm looking at him thinking, smarmy. I'm thinking this isn't the first time he's done this.
No. Although, I don't know. His reaction to her kissing him was bizarre. That's why I don't think he's a sex pest, because...
I think that was guilt.
She planted one on him and he ran away. I don't know.
I think that was guilt or the shock or...
I don't know. It's weird, isn't it? I don't feel like he's been pursuing her and harassing her and like, oh, kiss me. It's not been that. She's made it very clear that she wants to have sex with him. don't know.
Floozy.
You know, she's all like, oh, you know, I nearly died and I want to live my life. Let's go to the bedroom. She's been the one making all the moves.
Yeah, she's like, I'm easier than a 5-year-old homework.
Yes. But yeah, it's interesting.
I would, you know, put money on this not being the first stray.
Dear.
Poor Imogen. I mean, are we going to meet Imogen, do you think?
I think we're going to have to because she's been named. So this is the rule.
Them's the rules.
If you've been named, you turn up, apart from if you're Gerald, because we only met him once ages ago. But yeah, I think named and now shamed, I think. Yeah, I'm going to have to see him. She's going to go to the city and try and find him and see him with his wife or girlfriend or whatever she is.
You reckon?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's going to make me feel sick, you know.
Well, she should have asked him. They've not had the... This is... I don't fully blame him. Neither of them have had the conversation. Are you single? Are you looking? Are you interested?
Do you have to explicit? I mean, it's been a long time since I've been on the dating scene. Is that an explicit thing you need to do?
How did she know that he even liked her before she planted the kiss on him? I don't know.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, she fell in love with him during his speech for some reason.
Yeah. I don't know.
But I don't see it.
She was very confident. I guess I'm not like that. I wouldn't just go around and just plant a kiss on someone because I'd be way too anxious about it for a start.
No. Well, it'd need at least 5 Ryokas.
And then I'd need a lot of reassurance. Do you actually want this? Are you sane? Do you have a mental health history that I need to know about?
Yeah.
Because I don't believe you actually like me. So, you know, I'm just not like Max. I'm just not that confident. So, I don't know.
Getting the doctor's records before the second date.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that you've got all of your brain before we start doing this, because I don't want to be like, you know, look like I'm taking advantage of someone that's having a mental health episode.
Oh dear.
I don't know. I'm just not that confident as Max. She doesn't need to know if they fancy her. She's just going to go for it. So I need more reassurance than that.
Yeah. I'm probably more in your boat, to be fair. Yeah.
I don't know. But AJ on Twitter said, no, didn't like him anyway. He's too good to be true.
Too good to be true, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then over to Facebook, we've got a few comments about Levi on there. So Kaylee says, a bit like what I said on the podcast, like father, like son, LOL. Because he's literally doing what his dad did. Well, as far as we know, you know, if the story's similar. Naomi said, as soon as Mac kissed him, the look he gave her, I thought, I bet he's effing married. So Naomi knew from that. I didn't know from that moment. I just thought.
No, but you did bring up the look of his face.
I did, but I didn't understand it. I didn't know whether he was attracted to men, not attracted to her at all, even though he was into women, whether he was worried that because she was a patient or that he was going back to the city soon, so it couldn't go anywhere. You know, there was loads of reasons in my head where I was thinking that's why he ran. I didn't necessarily know he'd got a girlfriend or a wife or whatever. But Naomi thinks, yeah, I knew it. It's interesting. Kirsty on Facebook says, don't be a dick, Levi. Annabelle says, complete asshole.
Dirty dog.
And Tabby says, only in soaps would you be allowed to date your doctor, LOL.
Well, okay, they're not dating, they've kissed. Technically, she's been discharged.
Not a doctor anymore, yeah.
All I'm thinking at this point is, you know, that's, you know, you and I often quote Sex and the City to each other.
Yes.
I'm just thinking of the whole dirty martini, dirty bastard.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. It's interesting though, because he has, I think for me, Mac has kissed Levi. I think I would say Mac has kissed Levi. Mac has come on to Levi. Mac has told him that she's interested.
Yeah.
And obviously we know now that he has somebody. And all the comments are about Levi. All the comments are, don't be a dick, you're an arsehole, you're this, the other, that, the other. So is it, it's just because we've assumed from that phone call that he's cheating, and that's why everyone's having these comments towards him.
Because Mac's unaware. Mac's just, you know.
Yeah.
He needs to talk to her. Like you said, he's in the wrong by not laying his cards out.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. Yeah.
I tell you what will be interesting if he does tell her and that doesn't change things. That will be interesting.
Well, I think that's what, was it Jamie that said that on Twitter? I think it was Jamie said, you know, I will judge Mac if, you know, she does find out, and then if she just carries on with it anyway, then I'll be judging her. So.
Because that's a different story then, isn't it? That's yeah. You know, she also becomes part of the problem, the moral problem.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, what about Tane and Harper then? So Tane kissing Harper. He planted the kiss this time on Harper without checking if if she was interested. So what are people thinking about this?
Hashtag me too.
Hashtag consent. So Kathy on Facebook said, don't like her at all. He's still in love with Flick. Really hope they get back together.
Kathy, come sit next to me, girl.
Linda says, she's one nosy cow, always hanging around with Tane. Sheila says, I don't like her one bit. She's an awful person. Sophie, not me, says, she keeps going on about the way that Tane's hurting, but never thinks about how Felicity is feeling. 1 minute Harper found out that his marriage was over, she was straight in there, hasn't even given him a chance to be on his own since the breakup.
Yes, she knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
She knows it, and Facebook knows it too.
Jill says she's followed him around for the last few weeks. It's not surprising he'd think that she was into him.
Signals mixed. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Leanne says, what does she think was going to happen when she's been his shadow and his shoulder to cry on? She should either tell him to sort his stuff out with Felicity or back off. Tane and Felicity all the way. I think they can come back from this. You're one of the few, Leanne, that thinks that they can come back from this.
Interesting, Leanne. We've been floating the idea of the long road back. Mm. Leanne's the first to concur.
Yeah.
But
listen, the comments so far, nothing about Tane, all about Harper.
Harper, yeah, it's the woman, isn't it?
She's a cow, she's a horrible person. He's the one that kissed her, but because she's been doing the chasing and the, you know.
Yeah, but I say to you again, though, she's been doing it, but she's been making it look like he's doing it. Yeah. She's doing a proper bluff. I'm gonna shut up before I say something really on PC. Yes, everyone hates women. There we go.
Yeah. Well,
all the names. Do you know what? So women always put other women down, right? And a lot of the names you're reading out there are women.
They're all ladies' names that I've run out so far. And the next one is Helen, and Helen says, "Poor Tane with a sad face."
Oh, Helen.
Poor Tane.
Helen can't see past the muscles.
We've got Pauline.
The Pauline.
The Pauline, yes.
Oh, right. Come on.
Are you ready for Pauline's take? Yeah. Pauline says, that woman is playing fast and loose with him, and he is so stubborn, as she is, and deciding they're over before they've even begun. This is about Flick, by the way. After a blip, not even into the second year. A blip? I don't know whether I'd say it was a blip, her wanting no children, him wanting children.
It's a heck of a blip.
heck of a blip. Not even in the second year of marriage. How easily people let go of reality as though it's love and nothing but love that makes a marriage a success. So much more to it, and you miss the best part. So Pauline thinks that Tane and Flick should stay together for love nor money, and they're married and just, you know,
like the old days. Right.
Having a child and not having a child is a blip, you know, your...
thanks for explaining, because I needed it. So she thinks, ride it out, you've married, you've made that commitment.
Yeah. So somebody called Francis went back to Pauline. So Francis said, yes, but Tane and Flick want different things, Pauline. He wants he wants kids, and Flick doesn't want kids. They'd both be unhappy if they were together. Better to break up now and keep the love they do have for each other than stay together and end up hating each other. And Pauline came back and said, neither of them should be thinking along any of these lines, that love is so fleeting nowadays. In my world, it grew naturally and slowly, enduringly, and was forever till death did you part. So there's a lot of different opinions on relationships and that loyalty and that, you know, a marriage is for life. And
do you think society wise we are a bit too hasty in, you know, calling the divorce lawyers in? Do you think in a time gone by you'd have worked through it?
But in a time gone by, women weren't allowed bank accounts and they didn't work.
I don't mean that far back. I mean,
no, I'm talking about in the 70s. You had to, when you opened a bank account, you had to have a co-signer. Your husband would come with you and open your bank account with you, and you weren't allowed to. 70s? Yeah, it's not that long ago. You know what I mean? So things have moved on in a reasonably short amount of time as well. From that respect, you know, I'm not saying everybody stayed in a marriage that because they couldn't afford to move out or couldn't afford to. Yeah, you know, well, probably is what I'm saying. Some people would have been in that situation up until quite recently. I don't know. Difficult one, isn't it? So because women are more independent now and they can open their own bank account without somebody knowing that they've got one, and they can put money in it and they can have it all, as people say now, you can have a job and have kids, and you know, and you have to, that's the reality nowadays, you have to have two incomes coming in, you know, cost of living, you can't, it's not feasible to live on one wage nowadays, is it?
That's, you know, that's true.
So things are quite different.
It's just, I think there's a bit of a generation thing at play there from Pauline's comment. She's looking at that through her generation's lens.
Yeah.
And times aren't like that anymore, you know. I think she's sort of saying, if this was 50 years ago, they'd have worked harder to stop it falling apart. I think I would argue they've worked pretty hard at this marriage.
They've tried, haven't they? I mean, I think even though she's hidden it from him, she tried to give herself time to come around to the fact that she could have kids one day. She did it in a really, really awful way by lying to him and taking the contraceptive pill anyway. But she was she was trying to convince herself, if I just give myself a bit of time, I'll come around to it. She was willing to try, wasn't she? Even though she messed it up. I'm not saying it was a good decision, but she didn't just say, I'm not having kids, I'm walking away, that's it. She, you know, which would have been easy.
Yeah. And the fact that they have tried and been trying is the reason why we're all invested. It's because it's been hard, you know.
That's
one of the elements of a really good ship, you know. That it's been a bit of a try-hard.
Trust it. And then John, the only male name I can see in this section, actually. So John.
It's not the John, no.
No, not the John. John on Facebook says, shagging no time. This is about
what does he say? Sorry, what?
Shagging in no time. So he thinks that they'll be shagging in no time.
Well, yeah. it's probably right, and it's all to probably, It's all Harper's fault.
apparently, according to the old Facebook. And then there's one single comment that says, "Oh dear Tani, what have you done?" by Sharon.